Cool. Yep. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another fun-packed episode of the BAMF Podcast, where we talk about comics and games. And I think everyone's sober for this podcast, because it's kind of early, except maybe...
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, Sean, you're from South Africa, so maybe I'm making a bad assumption, because I'm not, I've heard...
Yeah, it's 1 a.m., yeah. I just got my coffee, so I'm good.
Well, all right. So everyone's so sober and or caffeinated. Well, Chris, how about you?
Today was a school day. I'm moderately sober.
I got to work with kids, goddammit. You don't understand. I work with high schoolers. A hip flask is mandatory. All right. Well, hey, today we're doing a comics roundtable and talk about some gaming stuff as well. And let's just, I guess we'll do a go around the table real fast. Adrian Smith is our frequent co-host. He joins us. Hey, Adrian.
Hello there.
And we were just talking to Mr. Chris McLaughlin, who are... long-time returning guest from Green Ronin, who's written all kinds of cool stuff you should check out. Hey, Chris.
Thank you. Hello.
Thanks for joining us. And we've had Brandon on before. I think this is his second time back. Brandon Blackmore, who runs Kalos Comics. He also works at RPG Now. Brandon, glad to have you join us.
I'm glad to be here.
Damn, you sound like Batman.
At least you don't sound like Bane.
Oh, geez, we wouldn't know what the hell's going on.
We also have Mr. Sean Isaacs, who's a great artist who's worked from Green Ronin as well as Peizo. And Sean, as I said before we started, I'm a little light on your credentials. Could you fill us in on what all the cool things are that you're working on?
Oh, geez. Well, it's not as much as you think, but I did stuff for Green Ronin Mutants Masterminds. Did a lot of things for them. Charlie McKelvey did... was Watch Guard. I did some artwork for him. I've done some Pathfinder comics for Dynamite and Paizo. And currently I am working on a creator-owned project called Stray with Vito Del Sante.
And I will put that link up on our show notes. I have actually a backer of that. That looks like a really cool comic.
Thanks, man. We're very, very proud of it.
Yeah. I really kind of like the whole Batman / Green Arrow Speedy kind of vibe. At least that's what I got, kind of got off of the materials I had seen.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like our Nightwing, put it that way.
Well, cool. Thanks for joining us. And we wanted to – this big subject, big comic subject I had laid out was people's favorite Elseworlds, you know, or what-if situations. And I guess at this point we could refer to the old 52 as an Elseworld, since that's that didn't happen. Maybe also the pre-crisis continuity. But, you know, just kind of open up to, you know, your favorite comics continuity or hypothetical continuity and, you know, why. And I know Christopher McLaughlin's never lacking for opinions on these kind of things. So, Chris, why don't we start off with you? And, before I forget, because I forget things all the time, I know I just set up the conversation, but Sean Isaacs was illustrating Emerald City, which Chris McLaughlin wrote a shitload for. And this is the first time you guys are talking, right? So this is kind of a cool scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. Usually I'm talking to Hal Mangold about that stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why? No, he's pretty cool. Like, he usually gets me on the stuff, and then I, like, you know.
Well, Hal's been my best friend for 25 years, so I'm obligated to say that.
Okay. No, Hal's cool. Like, every now and again, I just have to, like, send him, drop a mail, be like, hey, what's happening? Get me in the loop. But, like, otherwise, it's been rad. Like, I've enjoyed the... I mean, I pretty much have gaming on Friday nights with friends. So, like, we alternate. Like, we play, like, Pathfinder, like, one week or... And then the next week we'll play something else like Numenara or Mutants Mastermind. So it's a lot of fun, like working on, like going to my friends, being, hey guys, guess what? This is my stuff, you know. Like, then everybody wants to go and buy it and get me to sign it, and I'd never know what to sign. Draw something. I usually want to draw something dirty on the inside just to mess with them, but you know.
And but we don't want to belabor the point too much, but everyone's been eager to see Emerald City, which both these guys worked on, and now that's coming out, and you can actually buy the PDF.
Right. Well, yeah, the PDF is out, and the book is a month minus as soon as it makes its way over from the People's Republic.
Mm-hmm. So sweet. All right, that's fine. And I've been doing preview podcasts for that damn book for like 2 years now. So we're not going to talk about it anymore right now. But I'm really happy to hear it's coming out.
So I can't mention that I've already handed in the first PDF supplement for Emerald City.
That's a nice teaser. But hey, back on subject. What's your favorite Elseworlds or abandoned continuity?
I'm gonna I'm going to be Weasley, and I'm going to dodge saying Watchmen since it wasn't technically labeled in Elseworlds.
Mm-hmm.
And there's at least some suggestion that it might that might actually be one of the 52 worlds out there. So I'm gonna weasel out of saying Watchmen. Otherwise, I'd have to say Watchmen, because this gives me a chance to talk about something that is not Watchmen. So I can talk about my love for at least the first few installments of the JSA Liberty Files.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Loved those.
What the hell?
My copies went missing.
Tell me more about this, because I've never heard about this book.
It's amazing.
It's mainly a Tony Harris driven thing. He's worked with some other collaborators on it. I don't want to shortchange them, but it's got all the things you loved about his art from Starman, but they've raised the quotient on the noir and pulp elements to it. So it's a very, very, very noirish and pulpish take on the original Justice Society. The three main ones they tend to focus on are their versions of Batman, Hourman, and Dr. Midnight. But in that continuity, they're the Bat, the Owl, and the Clock.
Wow.
And they're working for the OSS on these high profile spy missions. And it's such a wonderful take on those characters and the pulp noir element that you had present back then. And then just when you think you can't love it anymore, they loop it back into a DC universe type story.
Yeah, it was great.
It's just fabulous. Now, I must put a major caveat on it, that the most recent one, The Whistling Skull, it managed to suck and blow at the same time. It's six of the worst comics I've ever paid money for.
I was when I heard that there was going to be like a new Liberty Files, I got like so excited, and then I saw like The Whistling Skull, and I was like, what? It's like the Liberty Files version of like what? The Batman Strikes Back? Is that the one that followed on from Dark Knight Returns? Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Oh, the horrible sequel?
Yes, it's kind of like that.
I can only compare it to something from another media. There's this old cliche in the music industry where the lead singer of a once popular band will be working on a solo album, and either the label won't see much commercial value in it, or they're going to hedge their bets, and they'll force him to label it as coming from his old band, even though it's him and like a completely different lineup, and it doesn't even really sound much like anything else the band has ever done. I know that happened to the Velvet Underground and the Replacements. So there's like maybe two or three panels at the beginning of the first issue to connect it to the larger Liberty Files continuity. And after that, it's just some vanity project that couldn't get pitched any other way. And it's really shamefully bad. I really, really hated it.
Wow. Okay, so I'll avoid Whistling Skull, but JSA Liberty Files. Go find that.
The previous two installments, you could push over old people to get this and get away with it. It's that good.
Really?
Yeah, it really was.
It's a very good book.
And
it's
okay, DC.
It's beautiful. The character designs, everything was great.
Came out in 2004. Just found it on Wikipedia. Okay, I'll throw that into the show notes. Damn it.
That and the sequel, The Unholy Three, are worth your money.
Wow. Damn, Chris, you told me about new comic book stuff I didn't know about before. That doesn't happen often. That's pretty cool.
Well, I'm a professional comic book geek. What can I say?
And holy shit, Chris McLaughlin's been positive for like five straight minutes talking about DC products. Holy shit, well, ladies and gentlemen, this might be a record.
Is he there? He might just have left. He might be gone.
We'll talk to his patient.
How much was he drinking before the podcast?
Well, I hear someone has ice cubes in a rocks glass.
That's mine.
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
I started sober, but I'm working on it.
Brandon, hey, I wish you folks at home could see Brandon's icon on Skype, because it's a madman wearing steampunk goggles with a grandfather clock behind him.
He
looks like a supervillain.
I am a supervillain in that picture.
And let's face it, guys. Brandon has like the coolest like last name ever.
See, I told you the last name is too cool.
I wish my name had a Z in it, though. You can't be a really good supervillain unless your name has a Z in it somewhere.
So because you want to be like more than one more, like you want to be like plural, like Moors.
I think it's just the English fascination with Z's. I know they're pretty common in South Africa, but they're kind of rare here.
Yeah. Oh man, Z's are like unicorns in American names. You just don't see them.
You hardly ever see them in names unless it's someone who's changed their name. This doesn't come up, you know, a whole lot.
And putting Z on the end, like plural, that's just lame. That's just cheating.
Why are you insulting Sean?
At the end.
At the end. I use his. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Mine's like second letter, so it's not too bad. Even though everybody pronounces my name wrong, so it's okay.
Well, I told these guys before you came on, your name's pronounced just like it's spelled. So.
Yeah, I know. Dude, even in my country, no one gets it right. Throughout the whole of high school, people used to call me out, like, in the beginning of, like, the school year to put me in, like, a class. And the teachers, you know, after, like, I don't know how many years, they could still never get it right.
I've had that problem, too, believe it or not. Even though Lafferty is relatively common. But,
yeah,
hey.
You read it like you spell it. Like.
Yeah.
It's phonetic, motherfuckers. But, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I understand.
It's kind of old.
Brandon, what's your favorite continuity and or Elseworlds?
Well, if we're talking Elseworlds, I have an affection for H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So the, I forgot what it was called, like, it's not Batman over Gotham, it's like Shadow over Gotham. Oh, wait, the Doom that came to Gotham. That's my favorite Elseworlds story.
I haven't read that.
No? Oh, no, wow.
See, I've not heard of that one either.
It's, oh my god. Okay, are you familiar at all with the Dean Motter, Mr. X books from back in the early 1980s?
Yeah.
Okay, it's got a similar, at least I feel it has like a similar vibe to it. It's like there's a city around the main character, and there's stuff that you don't even know about going on. But there's Batman. Oh man, it's been a long time. Batman comes back to Gotham City. He's been gone a long time, and he's got to prevent Ra's al Ghul from basically summoning Cthulhu.
So, oh, wait a second. It's written by Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame.
That you could be right. I don't know that for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what DC.wikia.com says.
Mignola.
You're cheating.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he just randomly spouts comic knowledge, and then he's just looking it up.
Sounds like you figured me out.
Well, I'll tell you what's the deal with what tickles me about this is that coming in a couple of months, like, I don't know, April, I think was the date I read, Dynamite, for whom the talented artist Sean Isaacs has done work, and who by the way is going to be doing character art for the next edition of Bulletproof Blues, not just to, you know, drop that in there. Dynamite's,
I think that's the main reason I'm here.
The Shadow over Innsmouth, which features the Shadow, like Lamont Cranston, the Shadow.
Really?
Okay, yeah, that's
so
cool.
It's like a Shadow HP Lovecraft crossover. So I get a kick out of that kind of thing. That's just.
You know, this is reminding me. That's too obscure. I shouldn't bring that up. But no, that's pretty cool. I haven't heard about either one of these books. You guys are turning me on to cool stuff. I'm gonna have to go on Comixology once I get off this call and throw some cash around. Aid, how about you?
Okay, I have two. Surprisingly enough, one of them is a Batman book. Mm-hmm. So everyone seems to love Batman Elseworlds. Gotham by Gaslight. Which is
that was great.
Very cool.
Now, very
is
cool
that,
book.
Is that a vampire story? What happens in that one?
No, it's the Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
1880s. London one. Very, very cool. I can't remember who did the artwork. I want to say Tim Sale, but I don't think that's right. But yeah, that's probably one of my favorites. And the second one has to be Superman Red Son.
It is a good one.
That's up there. That's one of the best.
Spectacularly brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying because I tried to get my friends to read it, but they I don't think they'd get it without like kind of a little bit more Superman knowledge than they've got about having let Luthor and all this kind of stuff twist around and his origin kind of go back on itself, I think. And of course, you get Batman with a little furry hat, and then, yeah, what more can you want, really, you know?
Yeah. Now, that was one I really liked, but I couldn't find the last volume. How's that end?
How's it end?
Yeah.
I can't.
Spoilers!
I haven't read it yet. Thank you, yeah. Everyone say spoilers really loud because how's it end? Okay.
Brandon,
just tell him it was the sled and leave it at that. Tell him it was the sled.
Yeah, that's right. It was his sled.
Okay, so they do like a Bizarro and he's the American Superman and they have.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Basically, the entire thing works around that Superman himself doesn't actually come from Krypton. He comes from a future Earth. That its son has turned to a red sun, and he's actually a descendant of Lex Luthor. So Kal-El is actually K-A-L and then L for Luthor. And he sends him back in time and kind of loops around to itself and starts the whole thing again. But generally speaking, the actual Superman character kind of seems to be largely immortal. He seems to basically just kind of disappear off the face of the earth and kind of stay as Clark Kent kind of thing. But yeah, it's just really cool. It's just got such a nice little kind of self-contained story that just twists around, and the artwork was really good as well. And yeah, that's probably got one of my favourite Elseworlds as such.
Okay, well, cool. So
back in the day, obviously, when Gotham by Gaslight came out, there was about, you know, a new Elseworlds almost every other month kind of thing. So there's so many to think of. So,
well, Gotham by Gaslight, I think, was the first official.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Elseworlds,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Elseworlds was almost a monthly comic for a while there, didn't it? And it seemed like it was.
Oh, so yeah. Master Teacher, the second
there were a lot of good ones there.
Pretty good as well, but...
Yeah. Well, hey, Sean, you're a working comics pro. I'm sure you have an opinion on this subject. Favorite Elseworlds or alternate continuity? It doesn't have to be DC. It can be Marvel or, you know...
You know what? There's so many choices. I'm not going to lie. Like, there's a lot that... I mean, there's some, the ones that come to mind are, like, Batman Holy Terror was one of my favorites. Like, it was awesome. Drawn by Norm Brayfold. I don't know who wrote it, but that was cool.
I thought that was for Frank Miller, wasn't it?
He might have written it. I can't remember. I just remember the artist. I just remember it was Norm Brayfogle. And that had, like, one of the coolest redesigns of the Batman costume as well. Because that's just where Bruce was a priest, actually.
Oh, okay. That might have something different. Yeah, it was written by Alan Brennett, illustrated by Norm Brayfogle. Yeah, Batman's a priest. Reverend Bruce.
Yeah, that was cool. But that's not on my top two favorites. If I have to narrow it down, my top two favorites would be Justice. I think Justice was an Elseworlds by Jim Kruger, Alex Ross, and Doug Braithwaite.
Oh, I remember that. That looked amazing because it was all painted by Alex Ross.
It was over Doug Braithwaite's pencils, and it was awesome. It had it had fights you'd never thought you'd see. It was basically like Aquaman going after Brainiac because Brainiac tried to basically like cut his brain open and then stole his kid. So Aquaman is like, I'm going to kill this guy. And then you have, Green Arrow and Black Canary fighting against Clayface in the sewers, which was awesome. And one of the coolest, like, opening scenes is pretty much this, like, a gang up where people are just beating the crap out of Superman type of thing. I think it was Sinestro, Black Adam, Metallo, and, Bizarro, all just like wailing on him before Captain Marvel before Shazam shows up and like helps him out. It was amazing, and it was, one of the things I liked about it a lot was that each character got their time to shine. Because basically, like the Legion of Doom got together and they basically kidnapped everybody's like sidekicks and like supporting cast, and so they just get to get together to take these guys out. It was really, really, really great book. My other favorite, or probably like. Justice would be the second favorite. My first favorite would be the Golden Age, JSA, the Golden Age. If you guys haven't read that, you really have to.
That was very cool, yeah.
Is that the one where like the huge jellyfish came out of the ocean?
No, Golden Age is...
New Frontiers. I'm thinking New Frontiers.
Yeah.
No.
That's cool as well.
Golden Age is James Robinson's take on the JSA, and the funny thing about that is... Yeah. Oh God, yes. And the funny thing is, he started writing it, and then he had to be told after the fact that it was an Elseworlds. He fully intended it to be in continuity.
It was so great, though. I felt it was like the story was very similar to like Watchmen, but I felt it was like more streamlined and to the point. Like it didn't go on all these tangents and have this big thing to it. But there was similar concepts, but it was just like, wow, it was awesome. Like that's where I was like, Alan Scott kicks so much ass. You know, because it's basically he was like the Superman of like the Golden Age kind of thing. So when he shows up, you're like, oh, shit just got real, guys. It was awesome. And hardly anyone's freaking read that book. Like, it blows my mind. It's like one of my favorites.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I'll have to go look it up.
Yeah, remember when it came out? It was in 93.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, absolutely brilliant.
Paul Smith is such a great storyteller.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Early 90s, all I was reading was Sin City. City and Ghost, Dark Horse's Ghost.
Who's I read Ghost because it was like Adam Hughes drawing Hot Woman. Like, yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah, they changed artists a few times, but a couple of the people doing the art on Ghost were just really good.
Yeah.
Plus, it was different from any other, you know, erstwhile superhero story that I'd read to that point. It was just really different.
Ghost is coming back too.
What, seriously? I always thought that would have been a pretty good movie or even a series. I thought it would lend itself well to a series.
That's probably why it's coming back.
And Brian Suker's drawing the first arc, I think, and he's really good.
Wow, okay, cool. I will look for that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, it's funny how we all hate DC. Wait, do you guys all hate DC?
I don't hate DC, no.
Hell no.
I've got a theory. Want to hear my theory? Go ahead. Let Sean talk.
I was going to say, do you guys really want me to rant? Do you have time?
Well, why don't you start going? I'll stop you if it takes too long.
But to be fair, they put out the books that I'm now getting from DC have gone from 1 to like 4 now. So I'm like, okay, that's an improvement considering it was, you know, nothing. Like, okay, I was pre-New 52, I was probably collecting like 8 books. And then New 52 started, and I was like, sweet, 3, and then it was like 2, and then it was like 1, and now it's like got up to 4. But it's none of the like Action Comics right now is just so freaking awesome. It's like, finally someone gets Superman, because I didn't read any Superman books, and I'm a huge Superman fan. Like, I got like a Superman tattoo and everything. And, I just, once the New 52 started, I was like, who is this character? Like, no one, like, I don't care for this like weird emo freaking running around. He's invulnerable, but he wears armor. I'm like, what? Anyways, and like, so now Greg Pak's writing it, and Aaron Kuder's drawing it, and it's like, wow, this is like, it's like the Superman. It's like the younger version of the pre-New 52 Superman. So like, he's got that kind of youth to him, but like, it's so good. Like, if you can pick up issue 25, 26, you'll be like, oh my goodness.
I think collecting Batman.
Of which Superman comic are you talking about?
Action Comics?
Action Comics.
Okay. Yeah, I think Greg
25 and 26, and you'll be like, this is the Superman comic you want to read.
I think Greg Pak has a special talent for taking characters who should be more popular or should be written better, and really done a great job, because his Hulk was great. His Hercules was great. I mean, who cares about Hercules until Greg Pak was writing him, and he did a hell of a job.
Also, Hulk's a really hard character to make sympathetic.
Yeah, I'm not a big Hulk fan regardless, though. Like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the guy. Like, there's certain characters you can connect with and you can't, and I've never really been able to with Hulk. You know, I like him as a supporting character in, like, Avengers or whatever, but I can never read the Hulk book.
Well, Mark Waid did a pretty good job with him as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. in this latest run. I think that's still going on, Indestructible Hulk.
Yeah, Mark Waid is like amazing.
2 issues to go, I think.
Yeah, but it's Mark Waid. I mean, he's pretty much what he does. So,
someone told me like the other day, we were talking about Action Comics and Greg Pak's writing and stuff, and I think there was an interview. I could be wrong, but there was an interview where he said something along the lines of what the way he's tackling Superman is. You know, like, they're not supposed to write them as pre-New 52 characters, but he's like, what if you write, he's writing the character as if this guy is going to become the guy from pre-New 52. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, I can totally get behind that, you know?
Go ahead.
The other book is like Batman, because, you know, Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder are just doing awesome stuff with Batman.
Oh, cool.
Did you like Court of Owls? Because I started reading that, and then I got distracted by reading really, really old issues of The Defenders. I haven't gone back to it, so I'm like a year and a half behind.
I love Court of Owls. Like, it's just kind of, because he gave the city a character kind of thing. And
yeah,
that's kind of why I loved it, because it was like the city was like this dark, seedy thing, which is pretty much like why I hate the Dark Knight movie so much. Because there's like no Gotham, and you got like Christian throat cancer Bale Batman.
Aww, I like Christian Bale.
He looks like a bobblehead in that costume. That costume was terrible. Like, I could not deal with it. Hey, like, I watched the movie and I was like, no, I can't do this. And it's like like in the first one, Batman Begins, like, that was cool. Like,
I didn't really care for the second two.
Yeah, the other two, it was just like, oh yeah, it's a guy in a rubber suit running around an average city, like, that's kind of it. I mean, like, then he goes and he's fighting bad guys during the day, which is like, I thought everybody was supposed to think, oh, Batman's this myth, this legend, and there he is, like, leading the charge in front of all the cops during the day against Bane, and I'm like, what? Yeah,
that wasn't great.
Well, I think Adrian will share that view with you loudly and vociferously.
Hell yeah, I've not watched the third film. Watched the second film once and thought, meh. Third one, no, not at all.
See, I loved
I loved the first Christian Bale Batman movie. I loved that movie.
That's cool. That's like you're saying. As well, like, you know,
the second movie I think would have been much, much improved if they'd ended it about a half hour before they did.
Have it be about
the Joker and then leave hints about Harvey and then have Harvey be the next movie. I think putting Harvey in on top of the Joker, on top of he's not the Batman we want, he's the Batman we need, except we don't need him, except we're not going to blame the Joker for these deaths, we're going to blame Batman. Why? That doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
Dude, like the thing is, every time you mention the Dark Knight, right? Everybody goes like, no, it was such a great movie. Look at the Joker. And every time I'm like, exactly. It was a Joker movie. What the fuck did Batman do? Honestly, he's terrible. Like, and he runs away like a little girl at the end. Like, come on.
I don't disagree with that at all. It's basically Batman stumbled into the Joker's movie and he's like, why isn't things, my life sucks. Why am I even Batman?
That's the best way to put it ever.
Happy.
Anyway. He's like, hi, I'm Batman. I'm sorry. Can I just like squeeze into this part here? Like, I know it's your show, Joker guy, but please, you know.
If in the second Batman movie, if he was a woman, you'd think, oh, that's the director's girlfriend or something. There's no other reason. why is this chick in this Joker movie? I don't know.
I didn't like them.
It probably is, but
so hey, is Kingdom Come kind of an Elseworlds, or was that
sure does?
Okay, it wasn't. Yeah, that was considered because for a while didn't they say this is the future of the DC universe? And they had a
was the future. Now it's an Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Well, no, wasn't it? It was an Elseworlds. Then eventually it became a possible future. Then it became another world version. Kind of one of the other 52.
When you got multiple realities, what, you know, does it really matter? You know, it's not mainstream continuity. That's really all that really matters.
True.
Yeah, mainstream continuity is changeable enough that I don't know. You get to a point where right now I'm reading two DC comics. One's Batman 1967. Is that what the title of it?
I got 66.
Yeah,
66.
Year out.
And
car.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that car.
And they introduced the Batplane. And they do it like they do on the TV show, where you have like a close-up and you got... It feels like the TV show, so I'm reading it. And I'm reading Justice League 2.0, which is set in the Bruce Timm animated universe.
That's cool. The
Batman Beyond timeline.
That's my favorite Justice League ever, was the Bruce Timm Justice League. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
You mean Justice League Unlimited or the one from Batman Beyond?
No, I mean the one from the Justice League and then Justice League Unlimited. That's what I mean.
Oh, dude, I've got those on flipping on DVD. Today I ended up, I watched that Justice League War, and I was like, what? Hello?
I haven't seen that yet. Is that a what no that's good or a what no that's bad?
No,
it sounds bad.
Superman kind of was basically like this really creepy, freaking stalkery boyfriend thing. He shows up and he's like, he starts like threatening Batman, right? Like, goes by the trait. Because it's basically based on the same storyline that Geoff Johns wrote, right? So I think it wasn't that great. But,
yeah, Steve Kenson actually posted something about that on Facebook today. He was not a fan of the movie.
No, and like he grabs Batman by the throat and he's like, talk, you know, before you can't anymore, kind of thing, whatever. And then, like, later on he sees Wonder Woman and they get all got googly eyed. Mm-hmm. And then she shows up, and Green Lantern says to Flash, he's like, ah, dibs. And then he walks over to her, so they go and, like, you know, pull the Hal Jordan and be like, hey, hey, you know? And then, like, Superman lands between the two of them, and gives the Hal this, like, dirty look, like, rrr. And I'm like, wow, stalker boyfriend match? Like, you've just met this chick, and you're already giving, like, you know, stay away from my chick. Like, I'm like, what? This guy's acting like such a dick. And I'm like, I watching it just made me think, like, not only that, like, DC movies, like, honestly, stop making movies based on comic book storylines, because I'm really bored like halfway through because I've read the comics.
This is the problem, because the next one's supposed to be Throne of Atlantis and that wasn't particularly good either. So
exactly, and it's like, and I was just sitting there wishing that we could have like the Bruce Timm Justice League Unlimited original stories, classic characters again. Like I feel like I've got to like cleanse my palate by like going back to watching some Justice League Unlimited.
Those are awesome. Yeah.
This is always what bugs me about when they make movies, because you can guarantee they will always go back to the same storylines, but yet you get animated series that can last 70 episodes and don't do anything that's based on a comic book. They do unique stuff every time. There's well, a new movie. Oh, we've got to do the origin. We're doing an X Men movie. We're doing Days of Futures Past. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Oh, God's sake. Here we go.
Let's go and ruin Days of Future Past.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, well, why keep repeating this stuff over and over again?
Like, we haven't already had 30 years of Days of Future Past rehashed endlessly because
I'm sorry,
sold
Brian Singer. I don't think Brian Singer's read any freaking X-Men comics ever, ever. It's like, okay, you're going to give like Wolverine now like cool like armor and stuff because he's from the future. How hard is it for them to design the armor to look kind of a little bit like something he wears in the comics, maybe, so they can be recognizable? You know, just...
It doesn't work that way anymore. It works now that anything that looks like whoever's in the movie slowly becomes into the comics, not the other way around. You put a guy in a black costume in the movie,
where they're like, hey, let's not research these guys' costumes. Let's just give them all trench coats.
No, you know? Here's the thing with that. When the first X-Men movie came out, the first Bryan Singer X-Men movie came out, and I will tell you right now, I cried when Magneto's parents got pulled away. I cried. That was an awesome scene.
That's because you were like looking at like as another supervillain in trouble, and you were like, "Damn, that could have been me."
No, it's a kid. His parents being dragged away, and he's reaching out, and that was a really well done scene. That is probably the best scene out of any X-Men movie ever, including all the crappy Wolverine movies.
Well,
but,
no, I did like the thing with the costumes.
I don't want to get too far. The thing with costumes at the time when they were doing that, superhero movies. As blockbusters, we're still kind of an unknown quantity, because historically, superhero movies have sucked. Like nearly all of them have sucked.
Well,
up until
I'd say pretty much as soon as the sucking started when Batman Forever came out. Before that, they were still pretty well known. Okay, before that, they were all still pretty good.
Oh, no.
I think I might go Superman 3 or 4, personally.
No, no. The last, four Superman movies sucked. The Captain America movie sucked. The Doctor Strange movie sucked. The Daredevil, the first Daredevil movie. Not the one with Jaw McHuge Face. The first Daredevil movie sucked.
Stephen Strange Times are quiet. I'm sure you have an opinion on superhero movies and when they started to suck, when they got better, don't you?
They've always run hot and cold. I don't know if there's ever been any clear trend toward good or bad. But I will say this much. You guys could not be more wrong about Dark Knight Returns. That's one of the flat-out best movies that's been made in the last decade or so.
Well, personally,
Christopher Nolan.
Chris.
Gentlemen, I listened to you quite politely for the last 20 minutes. I'd like to say a word, please.
He has a point.
Thank you. Christopher Nolan is a filmmaker, first and foremost. He happened to make his take on very mature adult political themes, and it just happened to have Batman and the Joker in it. I appreciate it as a fabulous, fabulous film that just happens to have superheroes in it. Now, I enjoy movies like The Avengers as much as anyone else, but let's face it, they're a big-budget version of a five-year-old story. It's basically Joss Whedon going, and then, telling you all this cool superhero stuff, which is great, tremendous fun. But The Dark Knight Returns is about something. Oh, see, The Dark Knight is about something. It's a film that will last because it's about something. It's a consummate piece, work of art by a consummate filmmaker. And I don't even count it as a superhero film. I count it as a great film.
And I will say I agree with Chris because I like the movies, but I respect other opinions. And guys, we got a situation right now we got to deal with. My wife is leaving work early.
Oh.
So she's going to be home in 15 minutes. And if she comes home and catches me on the podcast, I'm going to catch some shit. So
it's like the Bonnie situation, huh?
It's like the Bonnie situation. So right now is when we segue from talking about comics to talking about Brandon's Kickstarter. Tell us all about Bulletproof Blues.
Oh, man. And there's so many other great comics I wanted to mention, like a bunch of indie comics, because they never get talked about in these things.
Let's do another podcast.
Okay. We have to do a podcast specifically about indie comics, because like Boom and Dynamite, they have some awesome... and some other, you know, lesser known. They have some awesome comics. However, since you pulled my leg, arm. What, twisted my arm? Whatever.
Exactly.
Go. Bulletproof Blues, February 1st. We're starting a Kickstarter. We've lined up some awesome, awesome artists. Sean Isaacs, who you may have heard of. He's done fantastic work. John Selesnik, who's done just just outstanding covers, mainly for like Rifts and Palladium and all that. But he's also done some covers for other companies too. He's just a brilliant artist. He's like an actual real like paints. He uses physical paints. I mean, who does that?
The hell you say?
And I got lined up a bunch of pretty cool authors to do stretch goals. Steve Long and Sean Patrick Fannin and a couple other guys.
Jason
will be offended I haven't listed them.
Jason,
but,
a friend of the podcast, will be one of them.
I'm sorry, what?
Jason Tondro, friend of the podcast.
Yes, Jason Tondro is another one.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jason.
Fun fact, Jason Tondro actually is the very first freelancer I ever hired. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Back when we did Legacy back in the 90s, he did the first supplement for Legacy called Blades. Nutty. And it's a really good supplement. If you can find it at, you know, for like 25 cents at a dollar store somewhere, I mean, at a thrift store somewhere, it's totally worth picking up.
All this history I don't even know about. That's cool. Well, tell us about Bulletproof Blues. Why is it awesome, and why should we back your Kickstarter?
Well, of the approximately 10,000 superhero games that are in existence right now, Bulletproof Blues is walks that very fine line that is between like very, very loose, unstructured games, say like Icons or Supers, which are fine games in their own right. And at the other end, you've got, say, Mutants and Masterminds, which is another great game. I've played it myself, and I'm sure I will again. And then over to the side, you've got like weird games that have mechanics that I don't particularly care for, like Savage Worlds and Fate and those kinds of things. So somewhere in between, you've got Bulletproof Blues, which is just complicated enough so that the characters aren't all the same. You know, you can actually feel like your character is distinct and unique, but it's simple enough. Combat's really fast, making up a character's really fast. And it's also got kind of a cool setting. It's a little bit different from most superhero settings.
Well, tell us about it.
Oh, well, paranormals, superheroes, supervillains, they don't so much call them that in the Kellis Comics universe. Most of them have pretty ordinary jobs. Because if you could read minds, you wouldn't put on a costume and go, you know, try to control the world. You'd make yourself fabulously, fabulously rich. And if you could move really, really, really fast, or if you were indestructible, you know, you'd probably not put on a garish costume and go do crazy things. You'd do things that would suit your temperament. Say if you were naturally criminal, you were indestructible, you would do things and get away with them because you're indestructible. So say, for example, there's a villain in the universe called MOD. He's been around forever. He's indestructible. He's super strong. He can't fly, which is a source of constant irritation because people who can fly will taunt him. But he's basically just a criminal. And it's not that he's bloodthirsty, but that he has no value for ordinary people's lives because he's been indestructible for decades. Mm. And after you've been indestructible for decades, you just kind of take it for granted that the people around you are made of tissue paper. And if you get in his way, he will flick you and you will explode into a cloud of red vapor. And he's, by human standards, he's a psychopath. He's a mass murderer. Well, not all at one time. He kills people one at a time because he doesn't go out and kill people for fun. But if you get in his way, he has no compunctions whatsoever about killing you because you're in his way. You're like, you know, you kick over a stone. It's about how much thought he puts into it. So when Paragon... Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting way off the track. So anyway, so you've got people who have, you know, extraordinary powers, but they don't act in stereotypically superhero, supervillain comic book kind of ways. There are some people who do. Generally, the good guys tend to follow that kind of mold because good guys have less imagination than bad guys. But...
you are a supervillain, okay.
I told you.
But anyway, that's what makes the universe a little bit different than their normal comic book universe. Most of the very serious threats that a player character who is assumed to be a paranormal, some kind of, you know, superhero of some kind in Bulletproof Blues, most of the really significant threats they face aren't from other paranormals. They're from completely ordinary human beings who have power. Because completely ordinary human beings who have power are the scariest things in the world. Because they can manipulate the justice system, they can send armies after you, they can take away, you know, your ability to earn a living. Human beings are the scary ones. Paranormals are, post-humans are just, you know, living in that world.
Normal humans, for example, eat sandwiches on your podcast.
Well, I hope it's good. Anyway, the Kickstarter starts February 1st, which is in 2 days.
Two days.
And I really, really hope it's successful so that we can afford to pay fine artists like Mr. Sean Isaacs and talented authors such as Steve Long
and Patrick Fannin, Chris Hilton. I believe I'll probably put this up on the day of your podcast launch just to kind of help you spread the signal. So it'll be a couple days.
That.
And let me just kind of a quick wrap-up thought. If we were going to compare the setting in Bulletproof Blues to any comic book setting, and we've just talked about like a dozen, which one's the best fit? The impression I'm getting from what you're talking is like Marvel Ultimates, but I got a feeling maybe that's not right.
Well, you know, Marvel, if it were just a little bit more movie-oriented, Marvel Ultimates would not be a bad fit. And considering that's probably the one that I'm going to mention that most people might have actually somehow read, that's not a bad fit at all. But if I were to pick one or two, I'd say either the first year or two of The Authority or speaking of, to tie it back to the topic, speaking of like alternate continuities, it's not technically an alternate continuity, but it really is, Planetary. And if you've not read Planetary, you really should.
Excellent book.
Yeah, Planetary is fantastic. I can only hope that people would want to compare it to Planetary, because that's just a fantastic book.
Well, excellent. And Planetary is pretty awesome. So basically, we've described the tone, and in terms of rules, you're somewhere between, say, Fate and Mutants and Masterminds. You got some story elements, you can make characters fast, but you got enough crunch where it feels distinct. Are we summing it up pretty well?
Yeah, that'll work for me, yeah, sure.
All right, cool. All right, well, hey, we got to wrap up in the next 5 minutes. Any closing thoughts? Let's start with Chris.
Oh, well, I enjoyed being here, and I thank you gentlemen for your time and your thoughts. Always good talking to you guys.
Oh, cool. Sean, how about you? You've been very opinionated. Anything you want to close on?
Opinionated? I just feel guilty. I suppose when it comes to comics, I can be opinionated sometimes, but I'm always open to other people's thoughts, and I never like begrudge them that. It was awesome being here. Any excuse to talk about comics and stuff, I'm happy for it. Also, go out and keep an eye out for Stray, man. It's going to be awesome.
Now, is Stray going to be on the stands, or should they buy it on Comixology, or what's up with that?
Well, we'll let you know. We ran into some issues, but it's getting done regardless, and somehow we'll freaking get it out there for everybody.
Okay. So they went.
I'm just past halfway drawing issue one, and it's looking pretty awesome. Some of the best work I've done so far.
So they should probably follow the updates on the Kickstarter page if they want to know some more about Stray.
Yes.
Okay. And folks, just if you go to the Kickstarter page, even if you're not a backer, there's a cool video that explains it. There's a cool soundtrack that someone did for it, and basically it's kind of like the whole Speedy Green Arrow thing, but then like someone kills Green Arrow and Speedy cleans up his act and quits killing cats and shooting heroin and
and our character keeps both his arms.
Both his arms. So that doesn't always happen in comics these days. So support comics, people have their have the right to bear arms.
Because every character secretly wants to be Cable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except that. Aid, what are your closing thoughts?
Not a lot, really. Just go and read Red Sun if you've not read it, because it's brilliant. Simple as that. There you go. All-Star Superman, that counts as Elseworlds, so that's also brilliant as well.
What, does that count as Elseworlds?
Yeah, All-Star Superman, that wasn't in continuity. Yeah,
well, doesn't he die at the end, so it kind of have to be Elseworlds, wouldn't it?
No, he retreats to the sun.
Yeah, that's
Yeah. He's actually still alive. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is. So ruin it.
He's living on a farm somewhere.
He's still out there. He's down. He waits for me every
time. And actually, the movie adaptation, while not complete, was actually pretty good. James Robinson.
That was good.
I'm surprised no one mentioned Kingdom Come as their favorite Elseworlds.
I was going to, but we're running short on time, and that is my favorite Elseworlds.
Okay.
I think Mark Wade, sorry, what I call him Marvel. So I'm going to call him Marvel Wade.
Marvel Wade.
Because that's where he's working these days. But I think he gets to the heart of what I loved about the old DC. Mm-hmm. Just to sum it up, that scene where Superman tells Captain Marvel, you have to decide, you know, choose superheroes, and Captain Marvel sacrifices himself. And it's, it's just, it's a heart you know, pulls on your heartstrings, and it just gets to the emotional core of what I loved about, you know, the old DC universe. I mean, the fact that there was an emotional core and the legacy and the conflicts within the, you know, generations. And, yeah, I love that book.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%.
Yeah. I never got to tell you my DC versus Marvel theory.
What is that?
Maybe next time.
Can you sum it up in 180 seconds?
Marvel's a cool kid in high school, and DC's a smart kid in high school, and DC's going to go further, but will always be jealous of the cool kid.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
That's a good place to end. So, folks, tune in next week to, well, whenever we do another episode, to the Vamp Podcast for that kind of clever, pithy commentary. And we'll see you next time.
I'll be less opinionated next time, promise.
I love it when people have conflict. It makes for interesting listening. It's fine. It's all good. All right, folks, talk to you next time.